Good morning, and welcome to Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we begin our time together with Naturally 7 and Let It Be.
Lord, I pray for this day we come together, that our hearts and our minds reflect you.
As always, I applaud you for taking the next 45 minutes or so out of your busy Sunday as we leave hearts and minds across the airwaves to just let it be. To take this time out to deepen in conscious communion with the ground of being, the absolute mystery, that infinite divine intelligence that we call God, in us as us. And this morning I'd like to welcome Chris, who is joining us, our community, our e-community this morning. Welcome. So we continue on as we look in detail that beautiful prayer by Debbie Ford. It starts out with Divine God, Spirit, Divine Mother. On this day I ask you to grant this request. May I know who I am and what I am, every moment of every day. May I be a catalyst of light and love and bring inspiration to those whose eyes I meet. May I have the strength to stand tall in the face of conflict and the courage to speak my voice even when I'm scared. And this morning we're studying these lines. May I have the humility to follow my heart and the passion to live my soul's desires. Well, we've looked at humility often, and we did it over Christmas as we studied the esoteric meaning of the shepherd and the humbleness and the humility of the shepherd. So I don't want to spend too much time on that. But I do want us to excavate the second line, to have the passion to live our soul's desires. So it got me wondering what our soul's desires were. In the Hindu tradition, and according to the Vedas, our soul has four distinct desires, which are collectively described in that tradition as the purusatta, for the purpose of the soul. The first of the four desires is dharma, the desire to become who you were meant to be. Whatever it is that is your unique purpose to express. The second desire is arata, which means money, security, health. That material things that we need so that we can fulfill the dharma, our unique purpose. The third desire is kama, the longing for pleasure and enjoyment in all its many forms. And the fourth is moksha, the desire for spiritual realization and ultimate freedom. in traditional religious orthodoxy, we don't hear so much about desires. In fact, in more traditional religions, they might talk about it as being sinful. The desire itself is never sinful. Perhaps the attachment to the desire could be classified as that which is misleading. And I love how in the Hindu tradition, they're embracing all aspects for us to live. Not just the spiritual, but the mental, the physical, the emotional, the financial. Everything is included. Nothing is judged as wrong or incorrect. And it is in their tradition, recognizing that truly if we are to live the life we are supposed to live, it is essential that we connect to our soul essence and fulfill that unique potential that is different for each and every one of us. It's learning to honor the four desires, but keep them in balance. Because ultimately, the final desire, the moksha, the spiritual realization, would help guide the other three so that it doesn't get out of balance. In the traditional Christian religion, you often hear the quote, misquoted, which says money is the root of all evil. That actually is wrong. What it actually says is the love of money is the root of all evil. When you put the love and the goal and the obsession of it as your driving force, whereas you forget that it's just an energy in exchange to be used for your good and to share and embrace and exchange. When you are obsessed with the getting of it, no matter how or what or who you might harm to get it, then it becomes evil. But when you use your spirituality, your spiritual realization, your spiritual understanding to guide each and every one of those desires, so that you're not so obsessed with your soul's purpose that you ignore how you are in the world, you ignore how you shop in your relationships, you ignore your health. It's out of balance, it's out of whack. Or that you're so busy enjoying the pleasures and desires and the good things and the fun things of life that again you're out of balance, you're out of whack. You see, the spiritual path, as I often say, is not for the faint-hearted. It's not that it is hard or difficult, but it requires effort and it requires persistence. And so, my beloveds, as I excavated Debbie Ford's this quote that we're studying today, may I have the humility to follow my heart and the passion to live my soul's desire. I see how important it is to balance all aspects of our desires. Many years ago I came across, decades ago now, I came across a quote that has guided me in many things. And it simply said that desire of the heart is God tapping at the door of our consciousness, telling us that the thing that we are desiring is already there. Imagine if we could catch that idea, if we could catch that truth, if we could catch that realization that our desires are not whimsical, pie in the skies, or unobtainable. Our desires are achievable, but they require effort. They require that we work towards it. Each thing that I have ever undertaken in my life, no matter how challenging or hard, or perhaps thinking that I was not enough, I know that I've achieved and accomplished because I began it. I didn't know how I was going to end it. I didn't even know how I was going to get through it. But I know that the beginning, the starting of something, the commencing of something, is how you start to stir up the necessary ideas, inspirations, revelations, guidance, direction, whatever you want to call it, from the universe. So, beloved, I want to share with you, I think, my sacred text before I get into the story this morning, which is a long one because I didn't know how to edit it because it was too beautiful. I want to share three brief texts. The first is from Titus 3:1-2, simply says, remind them to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. The second is 3 John 1:2. Beloved, I wish above all things that I desire thee to prosper and be in health even as thy soul prospers. And the third is from Psalm 37:4-5. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. I love all of those sacred texts. I love them because they have served me through my journey. It is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Our teacher told us that. It is God's good pleasure that we prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prospers. Because that is innate within us. The prosperity in health, the prosperity in our finances, the prosperity in our relationships, the prosperity in whatever aspect we want to look at is what God desires for us. It is what our soul desires. And it's not just for some, but it's for all of us. I love what Charles Barwosky says. If something burns your soul with purpose and desire, it's your duty to be reduced to ashes by it. Any other form in existence will be yet another dull book in the library of life. We are not here to be yet another dull book in the library of life. We are here to give expression to that which is uniquely us, to truly express our soul's desires, whatever and however that might look like. So my story, let me get into it because, as I said, it was a lengthy one, but it's so beautiful and I think you will be inspired as I was. 10 years before I met Gene, he was at the top of his career as a broadcast journalist. After more than a decade covering a variety of conflicts in the Middle East and Asia, he was now appearing nightly on network television. Just when it seemed that he had attained everything he had aspired to and spent his life working for, Dean's life as he knew it came to a devastating end. He'd experienced various levels of excruciating pain for the past 6 years after suffering a fractured vertebrae and declining surgery, but now he knew that something was terribly wrong. Rushed into emergency surgery, he woke up from general anesthesia to a doctor standing over him, giving him the grave news that the operation had failed and that Dean would be permanently disabled, unable to sit, barely able to walk. Soon he turned to the States, literally and figuratively a broken man. His spirit as broken as his spine, his career over. Within months, he was little more than what he described as a man pickled on painkillers. Over the next couple of years, little changed, until his wife gave birth to their first child. His time celebrating Finn's birth was cut short, however. Dean's health, which had been deteriorating since the failed surgery, had taken a turn for the worse. Tests revealed a new life-altering diagnosis, cancer. His prognosis was a year or two to live. With his physical pain and mental torment more severe than ever, Dean's doses of prescription painkillers were increased and now included morphine drip. Months passed and Dean bedridden, and in all but a hopeless state. Then with less than a year to live, Dean had an epiphany. Lying in bed with his young son, playing nearby, the nightmare of the past few years and the weight of dying suddenly came crushing down on him. He was overwhelmed by the realization that he was moving irreversibly towards fulfilling the doctor's prognosis. He and his son, the most precious thing in the world to him, would be separated forever. Suddenly, as though breaking through the dark cloud that had been overshadowing his whole life the past few years, Dean saw himself through the eyes of his son. If nothing changed and he was to die, Finn's only memory of his father would be that of a man who had committed to nothing other than being a helpless victim. Dean realized that he had so succumbed to self-pity that his son would have never seen his father do or be anything that Finn could look back on and be proud of. It was not Dean's fault that he broke his back or had cancer, but Finn had not seen him even try to make the best of the time he did have. That was Dean's responsibility. Someone somewhere in the world had it worse than he did, Dean realized, and someone somewhere was doing better than he was with far less. Dean immediately made a resolution. He would change. There was no way to know if he would survive cancer or ever he'd be an able-bodied father who could play baseball with his son. But he made a commitment nonetheless. For how many other days he had left, he would be a living example to his son of how a man could, or in Dean's eyes, should live his life. He would face the circumstances in his life exactly as he would want Finn to face his own future challenges. A few days later, Dean found himself doing yoga for the first time in a class that was being offered at his rehabilitation center. Within minutes, he knew he had, in his words, found his path to healing. He had no way of knowing whether the healing would be spiritual or physical or just spiritual, but he sensed that it was the beginning of a new chapter in his life. Driven by his resolve, Dean immersed himself in learning everything he could about well-being, spirituality, and cancer therapy, and applying what he learned. He consumed books on diet and nutrition, yoga, spirituality, positive thinking, visualization, and meditation. He dramatically changed his lifestyle inside and out. He willed himself to practice yoga and meditation for hours a day. In the beginning, crawling out of bed to get onto his yoga mat. As the months passed, things began to change. Dean could sit up for 10, then 20, and eventually 60 minutes at a time. Soon after that, he was able to walk to the kitchen. He cut back on his pain medication and eventually stopped it altogether. More victories came. Eventually, he was able to drive, and then came the one change that meant more to him than any of the others. He was able to lift and hold his son. Miraculously, and to his doctor's amazement, Dean had healed his broken back. But his transformation didn't end there. A short time later, about the time he was supposed to be dead, Dean received a new diagnosis. He was cancer-free. I think you will agree that was an amazing story. Dean found his soul's purpose. And as I said before, each of us will have a different soul's purpose. And his soul purpose was to live whatever time he had left on this earth as an example to his son. And whatever drives or motivates each and every one of us, we are equipped. We are equipped with the tools with which we need. We didn't come into this world empty-handed. We came into this world already as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Just as the wave has the qualities and all that is necessary in the whole ocean, so do we, as expressions of the divine life, have the same qualities that God has. The only difference is that oftentimes we fail to remember, we fail to align with it, we fail to trust or believe or have faith in it. Our faith is always buoyed up and strongest when things are going well in our lives and everything is hunky-dory. But it's the times when things are challenging. It is the times when we are thwarted. It is the times when we feel like we are not enough that we need our faith to kick in. when we have the humility of heart to know that of ourselves we can do nothing, but it is the Spirit of God within us that doeth the work. When we can take our ego out of the equation and recognize that we are just the vessel, the conduit through which the life of God will express through in us as us. Revealing, expressing, experiencing our soul's desires becomes easier. My Scientist Mind reading is entitled Your Unique Delivery. The first quote comes from Gilda Radner, who says, "While we have the gift of life, it seems to me the only tragedy is to allow part of us to die, whether it is our spirit, our creativity, or our glorious uniqueness." Our second quote comes from Ernest Holmes from the seminar lectures, and he says, "We do not have to worry about the integrity of the universe. We do not have to tell God what to do." The author writes, "An honorable warrior went to the temple to find inner peace. Coming upon the spiritual leader in tranquil contemplation filled the warrior with emotion. He knew he had fought courageously and honorably throughout his time, yet he was distraught to sense he would never have the presence of peace, as did the teacher who stood before him. As the days passed and the night rose, the great warrior felt melancholy. When the two stood in the middle of the moonlit courtyard, the humble teacher pointed to the exquisite moon and said, 'As the moon crosses the heavens, the sun will rise, much brighter, lightening up the sky and landscape in entirely different ways. I never heard the moon grumbling, how come I'm not as bright as the sun? I must be less than.' The sun and the moon are different, each with its own unique gifts. You must not compare yourself to others. Trusting your uniqueness challenges you to leave yourself vulnerable. We are two different people expressing in our own unique way to make the world a better place. Is that not what matters?" Beloved, may you have the passion to live your soul's desires, whatever that is to you, whatever that means to you. Gary Zukav said, You experience your soul each time you sense yourself as more than a mind and body. Your life is meaningful, or you feel that you have gifts to give and you long to give them. Each of you, my beloved, have a beautiful gift to express as part of your unique soul desire. I want to share for our poetry this morning a reading from Joyce Rupp, Out of the Ordinary. "Come, Holy Spirit, help me to replace the busyness of my life with a simpler lifestyle, so I will focus on the deeper things in life and allow time for others. Nourishing my yearning to understand and to appreciate myself, keep me from being too self-oriented and unmindful of others' needs. Fill me with a trust in your consoling presence. Calm me when I am anxious and troubled about many things. Help me to have the courage to empty myself of everything that does not contribute to the transformation of this world. Continue to create a deep hunger for you within me. Feed me with the finest sweet of your joy, peace, and love. Often replenish my weary spirit with an enthusiasm and energy that comes from surrendering my life to you. Be my wisdom as I search for meaning in a world fraught with pain, suffering, hostility, and division. Keep me hungry for you, source of life, so that I will always ache and yearn a bit for you." My beloved, if you haven't already, I'd like to invite you to close your eyes as we go within. Bring your attention to the breath, the gentle inhalation and exhalation, ebbing and the flow. As we take three deep breaths, and let us always be cognizant of the words of Job, who said, "It is the Spirit of God that has made me." is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life. So inhale. Flow with the diaphragm. Extend the stomach. And breathing the life-giving, energizing breath of God. Hold. Drinking slowly. Take a second deep breath in. Inhale. Hold. And let's take our third and final deep breath in. Inhale. Hold. Gently and slowly. I want you to bring your attention to your heart. Rest your hand there if you wish. Take a moment to acknowledge with gratitude the work of the heart. How it pumps the life-giving blood around your body. And now as you inhale, say to yourself, this is my breath as I inhale love. And as you exhale, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe out cruelty. Inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in joy. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out impatience. Place your attention in your hands, on your kidneys, or your lower back. Take a moment to acknowledge with gratitude the work of your kidneys, how it eliminates the waste and toxic substances from your body. Now, inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in gentleness. This is my breath as I breathe out fear. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in calmness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out stress. Now bring your attention in your hands to your liver. On the right side of your body, underneath your rib cage. And take a moment to acknowledge the work of the liver that you, again, are so unconscious of. How it detoxifies the blood and combats infections. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in kindness. This is my breath as I breathe out anger. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in generosity. exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out frustration. Place your hands and your attention on your lungs. Take a moment to acknowledge with gratitude the work that the lungs carries out, again, unconsciously, bringing the air in from the atmosphere and passing the oxygen around our bloodstream. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in right thinking. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out depression. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in courage. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out sadness. Now place your hands on your stomach. Take a moment to acknowledge with gratitude the work of the stomach, how it stores and mixes and breaks down food. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in fairness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out anxiety. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in trust. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out worry. Let's take a moment as we honor our body temple, the skeletal, the nervous, muscular, respiratory, endocrine, immune, cardiovascular, circulatory, urinary, integumentary, reproductive, and all the digestive systems and nervous systems and every part of our body that operates without us consciously giving intention. Now take a moment and affirm for yourself. The divine within me is wholeness. And my mind reflects this wholeness into every organ, every function, every action, every reaction of my physical being, renewing it after the perfect pattern, the Christ within me. Take a deep breath in as we enter into our circle of prayer. As always, you're invited to include anything or anyone that's in need of prayer at this time. You know that God is the infinite intelligence, the absolute mystery, the divine that is everywhere present at every point in space and time. That there is nowhere where God is not. Divine Creator, source of all that is, Mother, Father, God, as we consciously come into communion with you this morning, asking that truly we learn to have a good, deeper and greater humility, to follow our hearts and to live our soul's desire. To let it be tempered with the spiritual awareness and guidance and direction formed by your spirit. Let us listen to the still small voice to hear your guidance by direction for our lives. Let us surrender anything and everything that makes us feel that we're not enough or that we're unworthy or that we're an imposter or any of the various things that our ego allows to dwell upon. Let us come back to the remembrance, as our teacher told us, that we were sons and daughters of the Most High God, that we were God. Let us remember our divine inheritance, that we are made in your image and likeness, and that you wish above all things that we prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prospers. Let us remember our desires, our soul's desire to express uniquely that which you have put upon our soul to express. That we have the financial means or whatever it is in order to accomplish that. That we learn to enjoy life in all its myriad of ways. And as we accomplish these three desires, we allow the fourth desire, that we deepen in our spiritual realization, our spiritual truth, our spiritual practice. Mother, Father, God, as we give thanks for your presence in our lives, we incorporate and include everything and everyone that is on our earth. For every sentient being we are including in our prayers this morning. There is so much happening across our globe at this time. There are not enough words to give expression. But we know that you know the need of every sentient being. Two-legged, winged, finned, hoof. We ask for blessings upon each and every one this morning. For their healing, be it financial, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, psychological, whatever their healing is, we know, Father, Mother, God, that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think. And we pray for our leaders, Lord. Whilst at times it may be challenging to see the good in them, let us remember that your Spirit is everywhere present. May you touch their hearts and minds that they may remember that they are in service to the people and not service to themselves. Divine Beloved, ground of being, source of all that is. For anything I may have failed to ask for, I know you will not fail to bless. For our teacher constantly reminded us, it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. For your infinite grace, your endless blessings, your eternal mercy, we are ever grateful. And so it is. And so it is. And so it is. Take a deep breath in as we do our movement prayer. Stretch your hands towards the sky, wiggle your fingers and affirm, I open myself to oneness and all of life. Cross your hands, palms down over your heart and affirm aloud, I radiate love to all who I meet. Bring your hands together as if in prayer and affirm aloud. I speak only words that affirm the quality of life I want. Drop your hands to your sides, palms facing outwards and affirm aloud. I am continuously grateful for all my blessings, seen and unseen. Bend your elbows, make small circles with your wrists and affirm aloud. I let go of any real or perceived shortcomings I may have. Take a deep breath in as I mute the phone for our affirmations and Buddhist reflections. Repeat after me our Science of Mind affirmation. I am happy.
I am happy.
To purposefully deliver.
My gift
in my unique way.
In my unique way.
Our Buddhist reflection. If anyone has hurt or harmed me.
If anyone has hurt or harmed me.
Knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word or deed.
Knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word or deed.
I freely forgive them, and I ask forgiveness.
I freely forgive them, and I ask forgiveness.
If I have hurt or harmed anyone, knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word or deed.
Knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word or deed.
I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I accept myself and I am free.
I accept myself and I am free.
May I feel protected and safe.
May I feel protected and safe.
Contented and at peace.
Contented and at peace.
May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May I be happy.
May I be peaceful.
May I be free.
May I be free.
May my friends be happy.
May my friends be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May those that challenge me be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. May all beings be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. Our prayer of intention, I am the light of God within and without.
I am the light of God within and without.
Radiating brightly. I am the love of God within and without.
I am the love of God within and without.
Expressing unconditionally. I am the power of God within and without.
I am the power of God within and without.
Manifesting exuberantly. I am the presence of God within and without.
I am the presence of God within and without.
Eternal and unceasingly. Beloved, my rumination for this week, Rumi says, the desire to know your own soul will end all other desires. Before our closing benediction, just to remind you, our midweek prayer, our 10 at 10 of this Thursday, our 10-minute top-up. So my closing benediction. May the mind of God always guide us. May we always remember the life of God that flows through us. May we always align with the power of God that abides in us. May the joy of God always ever uplift us. May we always allow the strength of God to renew us. And may the beauty of God always inspire. May we always know wherever we are, God is and all is well. So my closing tune is my phrase of the week. It's by SEU Worship and Sydney James, entitled We Say Yes. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
see you worship, and we say yes. Beloved, I wish you a very blessed and happy Sunday until we meet again on Thursday. Peace and blessings.